last Sunday, the last Sunday of 2019. Can you believe it? I mean, I think it was after the first Sunday of this year, I had a hip replacement. So I'm thinking of this whole year has gone by with various things. Now, I hope that each one of you have a little, besides the bulletin, a little sheet of paper like this. If you do not, please raise your hand. Okay, there's a little group over here. The teenagers who definitely need to do this exercise. So if everybody has one of these, do you have one? Okay, good, good, good. All right, now we're going to get to this a little bit later, but it's an important thing to do. We need to do a bit of reflection all the time in our lives. Now, there's actually going to, I'm putting in another scripture verse that verses that I didn't tell everybody about, but we're going to start out with that. But the first thing is that after New Year's, the first Sunday of 2019, we had communion, if you remember, and we did something special. Everybody took some little sheet of paper. Now watch this. And we all put down prayers. There's 55 of these on January, the first Sunday of January. They put these prayers. This is what I want for this year. Now, nobody has any names on them, so I don't know. I've brought it up a few times during the year. I went through them, and this is the list, sort of distilled, because some were similar. But things like seek God first. Draw closer to God. Trust God and be patient. To know God more through his word and prayer. Be kinder to myself. Put Jesus front and center. Deepen and strengthen my relationship with God. Release any resentments that I might have to God and be a vessel used by him. Live more authentically. To know and love Christ more. To be more focused on God's kingdom. To live Jesus' purpose for me. To be more generous with what I have. To worship him. To accept others where they are. More diligent in living the word. Understand the kingdom of God more. To pray and sync with the Holy Spirit. To have more fruit of the Spirit. To be more honest. To reflect God's image to my friends. Now that's not the whole list, of course. But I'm putting them here. I had some thoughts about what I was going to do. I was going to bring like a little bowl and we were going to put a match to them. And not to burn up prayers, but to send incense to the Lord, you know. But I decided not to do that since there's fire ban around. So we want to do that. But God knows. I pray, and I have prayed during the year about these, that those who wrote these would continue to be praying for that. And they would have made a step and could look back. If you had yours in your pocket, then that you would look at it and say, I've grown in this, you know, through whatever it took that God did. So that was a wonderful thing. So what has this year been? One of our sisters in Christ who's here today sent a Bible study group the questions, the first three questions that are on your little sheet for all of us to think about. I've used a couple of them here, and I've put them, and a few other things, I've put them on this sheet. If we'll just take a glance at it. So it's one word that you would write that describes this year for you. You know, do it quick. You know, what's the first word that comes? Challenge, struggle, love, hurt, all sorts of things. What's been the biggest lesson that you've learned? Think about, you know, stretching myself in God or something happened in my family and it taught me something. Whom are you most thankful for? Now, we hope everybody's going to put you're thankful for God. and the Lord, but also, is there a person who you're most thankful for in your life that has helped you or supported you or concerned about you this year? If you were to give this year a 7 to 10, in a scale of 10, what would it be and why? Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that's good, like that an 8 or a 9, oh, I'm all happy. We tend to think that a good year is no problems, no ripples, no little hiccups. Everything just went exactly what I wanted. See? Nope. I think sometimes a 7 to 10 should be, boy, I struggled with all my might. I was really coming toward the Lord. I was hanging on to him by the scruff of his hem, you know, on his cloak and stuff like that. That's a good year, see. If you were to say 1 to 3, what would it be? Well, I just forgot about God. You know, like it just was, you know, duh. If it was a 4 to 6, what would it be and why? Were you just sort of skimming the surface? Were you just keeping your life maintaining status quo? See? Think about that. And in what ways could you have behaved differently at some part of the year that has gone by? Is there something that you've been involved in or that happened to you that you could have done differently? This is why we reflect. This is why we reflect every night before we go to bed. Or as we're in bed, we should reflect. Is there anything I would have done differently today? Is there anything you would have done differently in this situation that comes to mind? And what number, 1 to 10, would you give your relationship with God in this past year? And in what ways would you like to change that? And of course, this week, this Sunday and next Sunday are the hinge Sundays of the year. We're saying goodbye to what's been, and we're saying hello to what's coming next week. So this is so at the end of the service today, instead of our prayer time, we're having reflection time for these. If you have a pen or pencil and you want to jot anything or just want to pray over them, we will be doing that. So a story to begin with. Luke 13:6-9. You don't have that, so just listen to me. Jesus was talking. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree. This is the fig tree right here. Fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it. That must have been wing, you know. Came seeking fruit. And he found none. And he said to the vine dresser, his gardener, look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree. And I find none. Cut it down. Why should I use up the ground? In other words, why should I keep putting mulch on it and go to Bunnings and get the latest things for fertilizer and stuff like that? And then the gardener said, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for this year, 2019. It's unbelievable. 365 days almost have passed. And the question we ask ourselves, what have we done with those days? What have you done in our lives during that time? Can we give you praise and glory? Can we say, like we've sung this morning, King of Kings, giving glory to you? As we look through your word, we pray that you would quicken our hearts and bless us with what you have to teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so again, what kind of year has 2019 been for you? Would you give it an 8, a 9, or 10? Young people, would you give it a good score as a year, good year at school? You know, how would you say it's a good year? Is it just because you made good grades or because you had some good times there? You made new friends, all sorts of things. How about in your work? How's it been in your work? Has it been a good year? Have you grown? Have you accomplished some things you didn't think you would before? Maybe you got a promotion. Maybe there's been some good family relationships or some difficulties that you were able to work through, a reconciliation or new challenge or a birth. All of these things. Or maybe if you gave it a 5, it was just the same. Nothing good, nothing bad. I'm just kind of going along the same way. Nothing out of the ordinary. A bit dull and dreary. Or a 2 or 3. It was dreadful. There were marriage problems. There was a tragedy. There was sickness. There was death. Impossible kids. How would you rate this year? Okay, now. Think about something else, a new, different perspective. What kind of person have you been in 2019? Do you have some regrets? Some things you said to someone that you didn't mean or you didn't, shouldn't have said? Times when you could have been more patient or kind? Times when you could have been less critical and more helpful and encouraging. Things you wish you had done differently. So far we've looked at the year. We've looked at yourself. How about your relationship with God? Did it flourish during 2019? Or was it the same old, same old? Or maybe even backwards a bit. Did you allow God to slip into the background of your life? How much of your life reflected the fact that you are God's child? Did you speak as a child of God? Did you act with the love of God in your heart? We need to face these things truly and honestly. Because as you know, you can't fool God. Long time ago, I learned that it's best to be honest with God. Because as we sang, and Wing introduced the day to us, He's for us. God is for us. So even when we stumble, and we scrape our knee, and have a gash on our head, or whatever, God's for us. So we now stand in this hinge moment, this threshold of a new year, and God, Jesus gives us this story. We look at the position of the man who owns the garden or the orchard, and he has a right to expect that there be fruit. All of you who like to do gardening, if you've ever planted anything, you expect to have fruit. You don't plant something expecting it to wither. Even though a lot of mine do, but anyway. Or you don't expect it just to, and not do anything, not have a flower, not have some fruit. He has a right to expect that. When will there be fruit to match what might be going on in our minds, in the gardener's mind? When will there be fruit to match the time and energy and money that I put into this tree, into my garden? If any of you have ever had a piece of property with a garden, it costs money. Landscapers make a lot of money, particularly for wealthy homes. All over Australia, there's a scheme called the Open Garden Scheme, and you can go and visit beautiful, beautiful gardens in people's homes. There's some around Canberra and all over the country, and different times during the year, they open them up, and you can go and tour and see what beautiful plants and how they've landscaped it and things like that. Absolutely gorgeous. But Jesus isn't telling us about a fig tree. He uses these symbols for something much deeper. It's about us. We're the fig tree. So we ask the question, the same question that the gardener did. Am I bearing fruit? Am I taking in nutrients? 2019, have you taken in nutrients? Have you come to church to be with brothers and sisters? Have you read your scripture and you really want to read deeply and you want to know it in your heart? Have you met with other brothers and sisters in the church through the connect groups or Bible studies? Have you prayed? Have you sought to sit in God's presence alone and listen to what he has to say to you? Have you been given lots of opportunities? You and I have lots of opportunities to do that. So we read that Jesus takes a breath as a gardener and says, okay, let's give it another year. I will give it more fertilizer and care. You know, the word for fertilizer there and care is the same word that's translated. It means leave it alone. Leave it alone. So, same word that means forgive. It's the same word that eventually means forgive. The disciples sitting and listening to him were now aware that Jesus was telling them about the character of God and the way he forgives us, even when we don't deserve such generosity and kindness, patience and care. So here Jesus is saying, okay, I'm looking at you from 2019. I expected a bit more fruit. You know, I expected some fruit over this way or that way. Or you know that situation that happened back in June? Oh, that could have borne so much fruit. But I forgive that. It's okay. I'm not going to rip you out of the ground. I'm not going to say, I want you to learn. I want you to grow. And so I'm going to give you more opportunities. See, this is a teaching for us. It was a teaching for his disciples. He was saying to his disciples, take advantage of the opportunities. Take up the nutrients. I'm going to give you fertilizer. I'm going to pour the word of God on you. I am going to pour out my spirit on you. I am going to give you all the opportunities. You have brothers and sisters to meet with. You have people to pray with. You have DVDs and things to listen to grow in God's word. You have all the opportunities and privileges in the world. Are you using them? See, this is always a challenge to me because ever since I was, you know, a young Christian, I mean, young in being a Christian, not young in life, but young in being a Christian. And I read about in countries, you know, where it wasn't cool to be a Christian and where it wasn't as free as the United States or here. And I read about people who would walk 12 miles or more, you know, to church to be together with people, or who would take a hold of one Bible that they had for 25 people in their family or whatever, and they'd tear off the pages and everybody would take a page and they might memorize it in case it was stolen from them or was taken away. And I read all these things and I said, oh, I was really touched. I thought, can I be that way? But then I realized I'm not in that situation. I live in a place that is so full, we're fat in biblical knowledge. We're obese. And sometimes it's because we take all this stuff in and we get obese because we don't use it. We don't exercise all this wonderful stuff that God's given us to pray for others in the church, to uplift each other, to pray for those who are in our neighborhoods, to reach out to them. You know, to encourage young people. We need to be cross-generational here, from the babies sitting there to the teenagers here to the young adults of first starting families, the older people, the really older people. We learn from each other. I learn from babies. If you can't learn from a baby, something's wrong with you. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers in the English language, preaching one day, and a guy came up and said, well, that was pretty simple. Even a child could understand that. And he said, well, praise God, that means you can understand it. And all the kids used to sit in the front on the floor where he would preach, and they could understand what he was saying. And it's reckoned that maybe millions came to the Lord through him. So, I mean, this is what God's saying to us. So as we reflect, as we stand on the edge of 2019 and 2020, we say, okay, well, Jesus is saying, look at your fig tree. And that's what this piece of paper is all about. Look at your fig tree. How's it done? And if there's things that you say, yeah, that was good. That was, I was blessed by that, and it helped me to grow. Well, God wants you to keep growing on that. Keep growing on that. And when we get to next week, we'll have a bit of reflection on what's coming in the future. So, how does God want us to accept or face this next phase of our lives? What can we take away from this year into the next? First of all, we're going back to the fig tree. God knows all about where we are in our growth and in our standing as the fig tree. He knows all about the fruit, the lack of it, the overabundance, perhaps disease in the fruit or dryness. He has given us riches, fertilizer, words from Scripture, words every Sunday, words and prayer and everything as we meet together. He has given us forgiveness. Have you forgiven others? He has loved you and sacrificed himself for you. Have you loved others? Are there any relationships that remain fractured? If there are, we need to clean them up. God already thinks we're special. He calls us by name. He's adopted us into his family. We have inherited all the spiritual riches of our Father. He also knows that sometimes we're so caught up in our own pain and confusion that we can't hear when others around us are in pain. You know, pain that we get caught up in makes us self-centered. We start looking at ourselves. Excuse me. Hey, everybody in the creche. I can hear you. Love you guys. But let's remember the times when we felt so alone, so restless and confused. And then God came in and gave us a drink of water, and we've been uplifted. This is the promise of the fig tree, that he will continue to give us what we need. God's saying right now, 2020, I'm giving you what you need. I'm going to put more fertilizer in your life. I'm going to sprinkle more Holy Spirit on you. I'm going to do all sorts of things to help you to grow. Are we ready to take it up into our souls and into our hearts? So now I'm going to move into what I think is the key in that. And that is Galatians 2:20. We started off this year with that scripture. That was the theme for this year. And I'm ending on it. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I or you who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the good news, everyone. That's the gospel. That's the key. You and I have been crucified with Christ. But lots of times we don't act like it. We don't act like we're dead. We act like we're very much alive. Let me at it. Let me do this. Let me figure this out. Let me have this direction. Let me do this. Okay, I can do that. I can figure this out. You're not dead. When you've died with Christ, then he lives in you. And so the Spirit of God lives in me, and on my whole Christian life, he's doing it. He's working on it. And why? Just like when we came to the Lord, what does the scripture say? It wasn't anything you did, so that you can never say, you can never boast, you can never say it was anything I did to become a Christian. God chose you. But the thing is, and he says this in Galatians, Paul says, We become Christians, then we think we should do it all ourselves. Then we put our thing into gear. Okay, I've read through 4 Gospels this month. Pat, pat, pat. You know? I've said a prayer every morning for my kids this past month. Pat, pat, pat. All my kids have turned up to church this month. Pat, pat, pat. See? And Jesus says, uh-uh. Nope. See, in Galatians, it began, and I won't take too much time with this, but it began with Peter and the Jews. Peter not living up to what the freedom he had in Christ. And he went back to the law and doing things on his own. And Paul says, you've cheapened the gospel. Listen to this. This is huge. If I say, I'm going to do this for you, God, I am going to accomplish it. Guess what? I cheapen the gospel. Because I have not acknowledged that it's Jesus only that can do it in me. And so constantly every day I say, Lord, my life is yours. I'm yours. You work in me. Now, I need to respond. I need to respond when Jesus works in me so that we are together in this. The key is to remain connected to Christ. This verse is a key one in all of the New Testament. It's a life changer. We are to die to the law and to everything that brings us anxiety and fear and unacceptance and thinking we have to grow ourselves. I always hear this from people, Christians who talk to me, I'll really try. I said, don't try. Don't try. You'll get in the way. Don't say, I'll really try. Say, I'll really trust. I'll really trust. I'll put it all at Jesus' feet. And I'll keep praying. And I'll keep just giving it to him. So this verse tells us how we should see ourselves as Christians. The first part says, it's no longer I that live. So maybe I could just sit back and let it happen. Okay, here I am, God. Just put your fairy dust on me. Is that the answer? No. The second part says, but now the life I live is by faith in the Son of God. So what is it I have to do? Have enough faith. So I need to build it up. I need to work it up. Is that the answer? No. It's the two together. The whole verse is two together. The whole verse tells us we are to live out our life on the basis of who we are in Christ. I am as loved by God as if I had lived the life that Christ lived. So by virtue of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we grow in righteousness in Jesus. This is your whole life. The fig tree will keep on needing manure and fertilizer and water and sun. Tim Keller says of this verse, only when I see myself, and I think this is so good, only when I see myself, put your name in there, as completely loved and holy in Christ, will I have the power to repent with joy, conquer my fears, and obey the one who did all this for me. Only when I see myself as completely loved and holy in Christ. We talked about being holy. The only way we are holy is that Christ lives through us. It is Christ's actions and his thing in our lives. When you do something completely out of what you would normally do, when you it's something that, well, how did I do that? How did I think that? That's not normally me. That's something that Jesus is doing in your life. He's working on that. Have you changed over this past year? I hope we can all say that. I mean, if you had a child, if 1 year from now, Wing looked at his little boy and said he hadn't grown any since this year, he would be really worried, and so would we all be. Jesus expects us to grow. So what does this mean for the fig tree? You and me. Well, it means Jesus gave himself for us. He became the fertilizer for us as he was rejected and laughed at and crucified as a criminal. On the cross, the nails and the spikes and spears dug into him. He waters the ground with his own blood. He is the gardener of our lives. He does everything. We do nothing in our own strength. We are not independent. Jesus tells us in John 15:5, those who remain in me and I in them, those who are connected, will bear much fruit. For you can do nothing without me. There is no tree on this planet that can make itself grow. There is no tree that can produce its own fruit. It's through the inner sap, the inner strength, the inner nourishment that comes up through the roots and comes out in the leaves. Not one of us can bear the fruit that God wants us to without the Holy Spirit working in our lives. It's false fruit then, see? So I've got some little tiny thing here, and not that these are just some little, actually they're Christmas things, but you take, like, if I took one of these, and they have some sticky on the back, and if I took one of these and I put it on here, if I do that from the outside, that's pasting on fruit. And sometimes we do that, you know, we paste on a smile when we walk in the door. You know, I know plenty of husbands and wives. I mean, I was one, you know, arguing in the car as you drive up to the church, you close the door and you walk out going, it's all okay. And you keep smiling until you walk out of the door and get in the car to go home. So that's not the true fruit. So Jesus is saying it's the Holy Spirit. It's what I'm putting in you that's going to develop that. So you can't pull it out of yourself. So we thank God for the patience and grace of the gardener. We simply trust in his grace. In Christ, we are made to be fruitful, beautiful gardens by faith. This has been the theme for this year. By faith. The faith of Abraham, the faith of Jesus in the churches throughout the world as the end of the world comes close. The gardener digs around us, like in the parable, so that the love of God pours out of us and begins to work in us and become lovely people through Jesus Christ, through Christ who lives in me. And what's my response? What's your response? Is to live this life by faith. And faith, we've talked about it all this year. We've talked about how long Abraham had to wait. We talked about the difficulties he had to go through to develop his faith. Everybody who ever talks about Abraham, and even non-believers who know a little bit about the Bible, talk about the child abuse of Abraham to his son. How can I believe in a God that allows that? Abraham knew from the beginning he was not going to have to offer his son. He heard the angel say, God will provide the lamb. And the other thing was, that was Abraham, I mean, Isaac was like 14, 15 years old. He'd already waited for 25 years for the kid to be born. He had 40 to 50 years of developing his faith in God. He went through stuff with his cousin, Lot, and he went through stuff with the kings and the thing, and he went through all sorts of things to develop his faith. God doesn't ask you to sacrifice your child the first time you say yes to him. He develops our faith. And so the longer you live for Jesus and the more faith he has placed in you and you have exercised, the more difficult some of the issues will become in your life. It's never going to get easier. I mean, a couple of guys in here who are the gym junkies and who do the bodybuilding and who do all this kind of stuff. Hey, when you first walked in, you didn't pick up. What's the biggest weight you've picked up, Simon? $285? $200 something? All right. Well, I don't think you did that the first day you walked in. You had to go through a long time of developing and a little bit more. And as those weights were put on, he had to struggle more. That's faith. The more faith we are granted, the more that God places in our lives, the more we have to, the more we have to put ourselves in and say, I'm in this. I'm going to do it. Simon would not have been able to do that if he didn't keep going and didn't keep struggling and practicing with that. So, as we come to the end of this, do you live your life in Christ every day? In Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and I in him. That I live with power. The same power, the scripture says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and gifted with every spiritual blessing. That I live with a message to show in my life that Jesus Christ, what he means to me. And to show the very presence of God in our lives. This doesn't mean that you go around Bible bashing people or telling a scripture. In fact, don't do that. Because too many people know that if you say that and then they watch your life and it doesn't match up, they're not going to listen anyway. You need to live. You need to live as Jesus wants you to. And then people will say, wow, I want to talk to you. And that I live in a presence, I live in a relationship. I live every day in a relationship. Our Christian life is lived in a constant, daily relationship with Jesus Christ. No matter who we are, where we go, what we do, we're in with Jesus all the time. He is there. So now, what do you think you'll rate 2020, 1 year from now? Can we come again to our Lord and say, and pour out our hearts and our prayers to him? Can we say, Lord, I want to humble myself. I acknowledge that I've been crucified with you. My old life, the one where I want my way all the time, that's the root sin, everyone. That was from the Garden of Eden. When you want your own way. Even if it's for good. My old life, the one where I want my own way all the time, is gone. And it's no longer that kind of life that I live. It's dead. You've been crucified. I've been crucified. But now we say, I live for you, Lord. Jesus waits for us, spade in hand, wheelbarrow at his side, ready to bring us into 2020 and the next phases of our lives. That's a promise. So I'm going to pray, and then Mia is going to sing, he's going to play through the song, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. And right at the end of that, Wing is going to pray a response to our reflection. So during this time, I'd like for you to sit quietly, look at some of the questions, pray, ask God to speak to you personally of your year of 2019. What has God done in your life? What can you give thanks for? Let's pray. Father, you're the gardener. And we do pray, Lord, that you would speak to us and teach us. Lord, I pray right now as we sit here that all of our hearts would be open to you, that there wouldn't be any barriers. It'd just be an open funnel, Lord, for you to pour yourself in. Speak to us, Lord, and touch us. Speak each one for something special today, something personal, something specific. We trust you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.